Read a parable that Jesus spoke in the first 16 verses of Matthew chapter 20. We will miss Brother and Sister Beasley and Davy when they're gone, and we do appreciate deeply the things that he has said. And I'm so glad that what he said had to do with the church rather than just one person, because if there's anything in the world we ought to do is be a church, and not just one person or a group of people, but or rather just a handful of people, but we ought to be a church. And I thank God we have that primarily. I appreciate the King sisters, all three of them, for that special. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his stewards, Call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and heat of the day. He answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called and few are chosen. This statement that's made in verse 16 is one of the most perplexing and difficult verses to understand that we may find in the Word of God. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. It is a summary of the parable that we have just read, and is one of the salient truths of the kingdom of God. Jesus said in verse 1, The kingdom of heaven is likened to. And then we read this parable together, and then the summation is made. So, the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. And this is perhaps one of the best places in the Bible for us to look at what we call context. Now, the reason for the parable helps us to understand the parable. Why did Jesus speak such a parable? And this parable has been interpreted to say many things. It has been interpreted primarily to teach that if you're saved when you're 10 years old, you're saved when you're 30 years old, you're saved when you're 80 years old and die when you're 81 and a half, then you're everyone that's been saved, whether saved when it's 12, 18, 20, 30, 40, 50, or 80, that everyone gets exactly the same thing. This parable has been used to teach that. It doesn't have anything to do with that idea at all. In fact, that's not a truthful idea. That isn't expressed in the Word of God. If there's anything taught in the Word of God, is an urgency to start serving God in your youth. So the idea that this teaches if you can put off your salvation and your service till just before you die, you'll get just as much as anybody else does, is not only an erroneous interpretation of this scripture, but it's a misunderstanding of the entire Word of God. Why did Jesus speak this parable? Why did he speak this parable? This is given to us in the latter verses of chapter 19. Let's read together verse 27 of the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew 19, 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now notice verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. It's the exact statement that we saw in verse 16 after Jesus had made the statement, So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. It's exactly the same statement. So this parable has to do with the question that Peter asked and the answer that Jesus gave to Peter. Peter said, We have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? That's the statement that Peter made. We have forsaken all and we have followed thee. That's a summation of their life since they had encountered John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and since they had heard the call of Jesus to forsake what they were doing and come follow him and let him make of them fishers of men. Now this wasn't a brag statement. It was simply a statement of the truth. We have forsaken all, Peter said, and we have followed thee. And then he asked the question, What shall we receive or have therefore? Now many religious people who live today would have rebuked Simon Peter and told him it wasn't any of his business. You know, there are people who tell us that there's no such thing as a reward for serving God, that in the heavenly ages or in the ages to come, everything's going to be just exactly the same for everybody who's lived in the world. If they've received Christ, and that's all that's important, whether you served or not, you know, the such thing as reward, that's not going to be any issue at all. But contrary to that thinking, whether you serve God or not is going to be a tremendous issue one of these days. Now, Jesus didn't turn to Simon Peter and say, Now, Peter, why did you ask that question? You're being selfish. You're being nosy. And it's not any of your business. I'll give you what I want you to have when we get there. And if you don't quit talking about rewards, you're going to get something worse. Now, I want you to shut up about it. That's what a lot of people do today when you talk about rewards. They say, That's not in the Bible. We don't talk about it. Just shut up about it. We're doing what we want to do. And the idea that someday somebody somewhere is going to be rewarded and I'll be left out is an absurdity. It doesn't square with the Word of God. It does square with the Word of God. It is not an absurdity. And Jesus said, I want to teach you something about it. Jesus answered very forthrightly. He answered very plainly in verse 28, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me. Now that's what Peter said they've done. We have forsaken all and followed thee. And Jesus said, in the regeneration. Now, a lot of people want to make this salvation, but it isn't salvation. It is the regenesis. That it is a time when this earth experiences a regenesis. The only time that there will be a regenesis is the millennial reign of Christ, the kingdom of God on earth, the 1,000 years of peace and prosperity under the kingship of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, in answer to Simon Peter,
You have followed me in the regeneration or regenesis, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Now, Jesus Christ is not sitting on this earth in the throne of his glory. He is at the right hand of God the Father. And he is not seated in the throne of his glory from the viewpoint of the throne of David, which he is to occupy. The throne in heaven that Jesus sits upon today is not the throne of David. David's throne never was in heaven. And David's throne never will be in heaven. David's throne is on earth where David sat. Now Jesus said in the regenesis or the new genesis, which is the 1,000 years, you're going to, and he gives him some specific statements concerning the reward of the Jewish apostles, the 12. Jesus said to them, in this renewal time, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, which will be in the city of Jerusalem, as the son or descendant of David, he will rule the world. Now, at this particular time, Jesus said, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, you can say that's symbolic or metaphorical. I think it's literal. And I believe that in the millennial, Jesus will sit upon the throne of his father David in the glory of the millennial kingdom, and that the apostles who have forsaken all to follow him of the Jewish nature or lineage will sit upon 12 literal thrones and will judge 12 literal tribes of the literal nation of Israel. That's what Jesus said. And I have no reason to doubt what Jesus said. But suppose we are Jewish. Suppose we're not apostles. What about you and what about me? And what about all the people that lived after the institution of the church? What about all the people who lived in 300 A.D. and 400 A.D. and 500 A.D. and now in 1983 A.D.? What about all the people who have forsaken all and followed Jesus in this time between the apostles, who are not Jewish people, who are not connected with the nation of Israel? Well, you notice what Jesus said. And everyone, that's me and that's you, that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, I don't think we earn everlasting life by forsaking, but we have everlasting life, and because we have everlasting life, we forsake whatever there may be in life in order to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we serve the Lord, irregardless of what the circumstances of life may have been, he will pay our reward an hundredfold. Now that just means the percentage of return is extraordinary in our work for Almighty God. He gives us the who, what, and the why, and the how much. And then in verse 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And I think we can see this parable and understand that Jesus was preparing the apostles, maybe particularly Simon Peter, for the judgment. Because I think that Simon Peter had in his mind at this particular time that the disciples who were alive at the time of Jesus would be those who received an opportunity or had opportunity to do more for Jesus than any other generation would have, and therefore the contemporaries of Jesus, such as the 12 apostles, would receive a greater reward than any other generation before the Lord came back. And Jesus is preparing these people for the fact that any generation of people, no matter what generation it may be, will have as much, have an opportunity to serve God and earn rewards as any other generation of people. And I think these early morning laborers were the apostles and the early disciples of Jesus. And then the succeeding workers who went at different hours or later hours are the people who have worked in the succeeding centuries. I think that a person who worked in the 3rd century can be rewarded as much as the person who worked in the 1st century. That the person who worked in the 12th century could earn as much as the person who worked in the 19th century. And I don't think it has to do with our chronological age. You know, the teenagers and then the middle-aged and then the elderly people. I don't believe it means that at all. And I don't think it means the generation in which we work. And that is, in other words, a boy is saved when he's 12, a girl is saved when she is 12, and they go to work for the Lord. But their contemporaries put it off until they're 75 or 80, and that these people have as much opportunity to earn a reward from 80 to 81 as the children do from the age of 12 years old to 80. I don't think it's mentioning that kind of equality. And I think I can show you some things from this parable that will help us to arrive at that conclusion together. I think this parable was spoken to explain the judgment of Christians, particularly to offset the problem of when is the time of following Jesus the most difficult. There would probably be a statement from every generation that their generation presented the most difficult time in history to follow Jesus. Peter and his early disciples may have thought themselves do more because they had borne the burden and heat of the day. Now let's notice the time of hiring. Early in the morning, the 3rd hour, the 6th hour, the 11th hour. And then in verse 8, the rewarding. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. There you have a demonstration of the statement, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And I think this has to symbolize judgment. This particular accounting has to be symbolic of our judgment as Christians. Now, when it was time for the Lord of the vineyard to pay, he said to his steward, now call the laborers together and give them their hire, beginning from the last, that is the last ones who worked, until the first one worked. Now, when the ones who had gone to work early noticed what happened, they were upset. Verse 9 tells us that they gave this man a penny. That is, they hired the people they'd hired, they every one received exactly the same. In verse 10, the Bible says, but when the first came, now what were they thinking? That is, the first ones who were hired, what were they thinking? They supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man's opinion. Now what happened? All the people who went to work from the 11th, 9th, 6th hour, with the exception of the early in the morning, they all got a penny. Now the people who went to work early in the morning, they're standing and waiting, and they're saying themselves, now if these people get this much, just think how much we're going to get. But every man got a penny. And the Bible tells us they became very disturbed about this. They were hostile about it in verses 11 and 12. And they that had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Now, perhaps this parable teaches that the people who followed Jesus early in his ministry and the people who joined later in his personal ministry received the same pay, the same reward. That's a possibility. But it's teaching, we're going to see that, is that the first will receive their judgment last, and the last will receive their judgment first. But these people suppose that they would have received more. Why? Because they said, we have borne the burden and the heat of the day. The Bible tells us then that the householder replied and said, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? And in verse 14, it is determined that they were to take what was theirs and go their way, and I'll give unto this last even as unto thee. There was no change from the viewpoint of the vineyard's owner. He gave each of them the same. And then he questions them. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine evil because I am good? What he's saying is, are you jealous because I have been kind to all these people? Will the law not allow me to do with my own merchandise and my own money what I want to do? And then the principle is restated again. So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, the few chosen. The teaching. Now here are the things I'd like for all of us to learn from this parable. That kingdom work is done in time. We must work now. Only in time can we earn rewards for serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The point is this, if you're going to church, you have to go to church now. If you're going to give your money, you have to give it now. If you're going to witness, you have to do it now. If you're going to suffer, you have to do it now. If you're going to sacrifice, you have to do it now. You can't wait until the millennial reign and start doing it. That's the time of rewarding, not the time of work. It means this, that we have got to stop saying tomorrow, 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 and start saying, Lord, we assume our responsibilities today, because we have as much of an opportunity to serve God as any generation has ever had. And I think that's another thing that's taught in this parable, that there will be no special rewards given for special times. You know, we're rewarded for our faithfulness to God, and faithfulness can be had by anyone at any time. The idea that there are circumstances when faithfulness demand more. They're just, the circumstances are different, but faithfulness is always the same. It is, as Joshua told the children of Israel, neither turning to the left hand nor to the right hand. Now specifically, I think it means that the judgment seat of Christ will proceed from the last to the first. We will be judged in time. Now that's, in other words, I think that I'll stand in judgment before God, before Christ, before my daddy does. And I think my daddy will stand in judgment before his daddy. I think I'm going to be judged before my grandfather and before my great-grandfather. I think I'll stand in judgment for Jesus Christ before my grandparents, grandmother. I think that if the Lord doesn't come back, I think that my children will stand in the judgment of God at the judgment seat of Christ before I am judged. And I think the reason for that is to see that what we have done has dramatically influenced them. I think it's then that we're going to be able to have some comprehension of just what all life has really been and how significant our influence has been. I don't doubt but what at the judgment seat of Christ, a parent is going to see their child just judged and saved, yet so as by fire, with no rewards whatsoever. And that parent is going to say, "Look, Lord, don't blame that kid for what he did. I didn't take him to church. We were all saved, but we didn't go to church, Lord. You're taking away his reward." But, you know, the Lord will get to that parent. I think that's going to be part of the judgment, to see what our influence didn't do. You say, "Preacher, you're going to tell me that if I'm saved, that I'll be judged for the influence I had on my children, on my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren, all the way back as far as genealogy might carry us?" I'm saying that. And that's probably one of the most horrible thoughts we'll have in a long, long time. You know why? Because influence, of all the things we possess, influence is the most important. Oh, you say, "I'm making a difference what I do, it's what I give my family. Look, what my kids are looking for, preacher, is when I take my billfold out and say, 'Here, go down to the pizza parlor and buy you a pizza and have a good time.' Now, that's what my kid really feels like's important. That's what he likes his old man for. Why, you know, when I go down and charge a new dress and all this. Now, that's really important. That is the least important of all things of what you can influence your children to be or become. That's probably the least significant, and probably the thing you won't be judged for at the judgment seat of Christ is whether you could give them a little money for pizza or not. Probably, you know, be something else altogether. I think it's important to begin from the last, work the way right on down. You know, conceivably, and I think it's altogether possible, and I think it's altogether true, that Simon Peter, who asked this question, "What shall we receive therefore?" may very well get a spillover of rewards from what some of us do, because we have learned from him, and we've been influenced by him, and so have other people. So influence is our most important asset as a Christian. And that's where we will be judged and how we will be judged. As I said, that one generation may earn as many rewards as the next. That God will give according to his will and not according to ours. Because the judgment is indeed the judgment seat of Christ and not the judgment seat of humans. Probably the worst attitude that any of us can have is that our lives don't hurt anyone
but us. You know, have you ever heard people say that? A preacher, I'll tell you what, I may drink or I may curse or I may steal, but now what I do, I don't hurt anybody but myself. Listen, that's the worst lie you've ever been told, and it's the worst lie you've ever told, is to say who you are and what you do doesn't hurt anyone but you. That's not true. Sad to say, what you're doing now affects your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You're setting in motion things that may go on for generations and generations. And there's nothing you can do in this world that will not diminish, if it's evil, other people. There's not anything that's just strictly your own business. He said, well, I tell you what, I'm hooked on drugs, and I'm killing myself, but it's not anybody's business but mine, because, brother, it's my life and my body, and I can destroy it if I want to, and I'm not hurting anybody but me. Oh, fool, fool. You're hurting everybody more than you're hurting yourself. You're the least person that's getting hurt. You're getting hurt the least of anybody by having that attitude. What about your wife and your children, the work you could do, the money that you spend? These are things that are hurting, and they hurt bad. Yes, we'll all be judged. And the order of judgment is from the last to the first, and from the first to the last. And I think the people who are chosen, for many be called to the judgment seat of Christ, but few be chosen to the bridal relationship, because that's an extra special reward given to the faithful of God.